Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And Merry Christmas to every one of you. I hope you have a great Christmas. You have presents, you have some time to spend with your loved ones and maybe enjoy some hockey or enjoy a podcast just like this one. And this is a special episode. Not only that it is an all English episode once again, but this one is a present from me to you. But what happened was also a present or a gift, to be exact, for me from the league and from the guy I interviewed. This is my interview with Phil Pritchard, who is the keeper of the cup. And I was in Stockholm during the Global Series, and there was the Stanley Cup around there. It was scheduled to be at the Kungsträdgården, I think is the name, where they had the Global Fan Fest. And so before going to the Global Series, I asked the NHL, maybe I can get some minutes with Phil, maybe I can interview him around the Fan Fest when he's there, when he's presenting the cup there. And then the NHL made a decision to have a coffee session for the European media, which was, or international media to be exact, which was a great thing, because not only did we get to meet Phil, which is a pleasure, but also we got to see the Stanley Cup. And I just want to describe the scene to you guys. I don't know if I'll talk about it in the interview as well, but there's a small room in a hotel and Phil arrives. Everyone recognizes Phil and he has the box with the Stanley Cup in it. So he arrives and there's just adults there, media, international media. And when Phil arrives, it goes quiet. Everyone is just nervous and excited, and just there's a hush, and I'm like, wow, let's see what's in the box. We all know what's in the box. We all know the Stanley Cup is in there, but it's just like the fascination, the sheer presence of this trophy is just amazing to me. And so Phil arrives, he's got the box, everyone gets quiet, he opens it, takes out the Stanley Cup, and there was a table right in the middle of that room, and there's a picture you'll see when you look at the show notes at the show, and Phil just puts the Stanley Cup in there, and the first reaction is there's no noise, no one is really saying something, it's just like, oh no, that's the cup, you know. And then everyone starts talking a little bit and going nearer to the Stanley Cup, and was just amazing scenery. But not only is the cup amazing, the guy that is the keeper of the cup, Phil, is such a kind person, such a nice person, such a positive person. It was pure fun for me to talk to him. And I was lucky. I was the first person who had the idea to do the interview. So I was scheduled to talk to him. And then, obviously, there was some other media around me. So they recognized, man, we can talk to Phil, we can get maybe some stories and maybe some stuff from him, there are some insights. And so after I was finished with him, someone else approached him and asked him, and he was so kind. He was, I don't know how long it was, about an hour and a half, and Phil went into the room right next to where the Stanley Cup was presented. He went in there, he did an interview, he came back. The next media person asked him, or the next group of media person asked him from a certain country. And they went into the room again, did an interview. And he spent, I would say, 1 to 1.5 hours just doing interviews. The cup was right next to it. We had some coffee, we had some cookies, fruits there. That was just such an amazing experience for me to see the cup, to meet Phil. He is just an amazing person, and I will talk about that in the interview. You can feel the positivity that is around the cup. Everyone is enjoying their time around the cup, the time with the cup, and I think you can feel something of that from Phil as well. And so I don't know if you listen to this. Thanks to him, thanks to the league, thanks to everyone who was involved in arranging this. And if you guys have just a small portion of the fun and the enjoyment I had around Phil and around the cup and doing this interview, I think it's worth listening. So enjoy Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup from Stockholm. Merry Christmas to every one of you. And if we don't hear each other again, Happy New Year, a great start in 2024. Yeah, so I'm sitting next to the Avicii Arena in a hotel room, and I've got the keeper of a cup with me, Phil Pritchard. Phil, thanks for taking the time. The first question will be, how are you? How's the jet lag?
Lars, first of all, it's always great to come to Europe. I mean, there's so many hockey fans, not only National Hockey League fans, but fans of hockey and from around the world, too. So we're always thrilled when we get here. I got here Wednesday, actually. I left Toronto on Tuesday night. So my jet lag's doing fine. It's, I think, after a while in the world we live in now, you just get used to it and go from there. But it's great to be here, Lars, and it's a pleasure talking to you about one of the greatest trophies in all of sport. And on behalf of the Hockey Hall of Fame and the National Hockey League, to bring it here, it's pretty special.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's been a pretty busy kind of days lately with the Hockey Hall of Fame introduction on the weekend, and yeah. Now this one. How are you assigned to those things? Because you're not working alone. I think there's another keeper of the cup.
Yeah, there's a couple of other guys that travel a lot. What's amazing about the Stanley Cup, it's obviously the championship trophy for the National Hockey League, but it's the pinnacle of the entire sport. No matter where you are in the world, you ultimately want to play in the greatest league in the world, which is arguably the National Hockey League. And getting the opportunity to play in the NHL and making the playoffs and getting to the Stanley Cup final and hoping your team wins it and you get a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup, it's every hockey player's dream, I think. So to be able to be part of that, first of all, it's very special in that, but you see everybody, when we took the cup out of the case there, their smile on their face, their awe, their questions, their nervousness almost. Do you touch it? It's all of that. But that's what makes it so special. And we at the Hockey Hall of Fame and the National Hockey League and the trustees of the cup have made it kind of as big as it should be. It's 130 years old. It's the oldest trophy in professional sport. It's the greatest trophy in professional sport, but it deserves that respect that hockey fans give it. And I think that's what makes it that extra special. And if you ask guys like Nick Lidstrom or Thomas Holmstrom or other guys that are here how hard it was to win, but how special it was to bring it home and say thank you, that sums it all up.
I mean, you talk about the other guy smiling. You're smiling as well, and you seem to be shining from the trophy. Something, I don't know if it rubs on you, but it seems to be. I mean, you must be someone who's, you're seeing so many happy faces and so many happy people around. It's just, it feels like you got something of that into
Well, I guess, Lars, I mean, you wake up in the morning, you love what you do.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning, I love what I do. I think it's a great thing when you get up in the morning and you love your job and love the people you work with and the events that you do. I work with a 90-centimeter Stanley Cup all the time, and it's great. It causes a lot of excitement and a lot of emotions in that, and it brings out, I think, the best in people. And you see the determination on the faces of the players that play for it. Not just the winners, but the people that lose as well. Yeah. I mean, they get so close, and it's become so emotional, and they're so attached to it. But to be able to present it in a form like this here in Stockholm for the Global Series, it's really special because not everybody here gets a chance to see it all the time. Although if you look at an NHL roster, usually every year when the Stanley Cup is won, there's a lot of Swedish people that have won the Cup over the years. So we're usually coming to Sweden at least once a year for Stanley Cup celebrations and that. And to be in Stockholm now in November for 4 or 5 days with the fans, it's extra special.
And for me as well, I actually asked Gary last year in Tampere. They had the Stanley Cup champion Avalanche with them, and then I asked him why didn't you bring the cup? So I'm thankful that this time it's not the Stanley Cup champion, but four teams and the cup. So that's just great. But you talk about the dreams by the players to win the cup. How did you get the dream job to be the keeper of the cup? How did you become the keeper of the cup?
Well, I think first we go back to Tampere last year. I mean, the Stanley Cup's got a busy schedule, and if we can get it to events, we do our best to. It doesn't work all the time, but we are thrilled to bring it here this year. But I think for me, being the keeper of the cup, I would have much rather have played hockey and win the Stanley Cup. I probably, like everyone else, like we talked about earlier, that didn't work out. But to get out and hang out with the Stanley Cup daily, maybe it's second best. I'm not sure how people would look at it all the time. Again, I love what I do. I love being part of that, and I've been doing it since 1988. If you ask Diane, my wife, she would say I was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Should have played hockey, but it seemed to have worked out and been in the right spot at the right time. But not only am I the keeper of the cup, but I'm the curator at the Hockey Hall of Fame to look after all the displays and the artifacts and the trophies, which include the Stanley Cup. So it kind of all rolls into that job description, but bringing it out to the people, that's one that always causes excitement and emotions.
And what's the balance between being in Toronto and being on the road for you? How many days do you travel in a normal year?
What's amazing now, you look at the game of hockey, not only in North America, but around the world, they're training, they're playing, it's like 12 months a year now. Yeah. So hockey is all the time. So there's a lot going on all the time. In the summer, the winning team gets the Stanley Cup for 100 days. So we're traveling all over the place then. And, I mean, you count the amount of days I'm on the road. It's close to probably half the year. Yeah. But hockey's played all the time now. I mean, as you see, we're in North America, we're in Sweden, we were in Australia a month and a half ago for the exhibition series, part of a global games. And it's a global sport, so things are going on all the time, and it's fortunate, Lars, like we said, we love our jobs, so we're willing to do that.
And just from the daily business, there are some scenes when you see something happening with the cup. I mean, obviously, the Avalanche, it took them I don't know how many minutes to put a dent into it. Okay, you can't do anything there because it's on the ice, the players have it. But there was one video I saw, I don't know if it was Burakovsky, they were partying. He had the cup. He might have had some beverages. And then he fell down. I don't know, there was a stair. He disappeared in the video. Yeah. You come in from the right, you grab the cup, and you don't see the player anything else. Yeah. Is it for you just, I mean, you know that there are people around who take care of the player, but your responsibility, is it like you're the bodyguard of the cup? Is it what is the responsibility there?
Well, I mean, I use that example as well, and there was a lot of people around, so thankfully someone looked after the player and we looked after the trophy. Let's be real, the person is much more valuable than the player. If it was an individual event that there was just me and the player in the cup, we'd make sure the player's looked after first, or the person, or whoever it might be. But, yeah, I guess a bodyguard of the cup would be a fair statement in that. We want to make sure that it's looked after all the time. We want to make sure it's treated with respect. And it's 130 years old. I think, Lars, when you and I are 130, if we look that good, we'll be doing okay.
I mean, you're taking care of it.
We try. But it gathers so much respect from the players and the fans and everybody, that we want to keep it looking as good as it can. So in things like that, when something does happen, and it's the rare occasion it does, and we try and make sure everything is safe around it and everything is secure.
And you've traveled with the cup a lot. If you would name your, I would say, top three exotic places or destinations, what would you list there as places where the cup has been, and you have been with the cup. I knew it was once on the top of a mountain. I don't know if you were with it. I think it was a Russian player who brought it there.
So we, I mean, a couple of ones that always stand out to me. When Washington won a few years ago, Philip Grubauer, one of the goalies, we went to the Bavarian Mountains there in his hometown. We were on the top of the mountain there. That, I mean, that was beautiful looking over the mountains and seeing the countryside and that. And from a visual point, it was beautiful. From a player point, Philip got a chance to bring it to his homeland. Yeah, it's always... And that's equally as important. A couple of years ago, before the Beijing Olympics, the NHL had exhibition games in Beijing.
Yeah.
And we got a chance to take it on the Great Wall of China. And it was amazing to get a chance to get on that and to see. It still amazes me how they built the thing.
Yeah.
But just to be part of a wonder of the world is pretty amazing. But I think most of all for me, every year when Craig Campbell and I walk the cup out on the red carpet and hand it to Commissioner Bettman, it's a new chapter in the story of the Stanley Cup. And that always stands out because you're getting ready for the summer and the excitement of a new team winning it and you meeting the players and their family and you hear about what they did to make it to the NHL and ultimately become a Stanley Cup champion. And that, to me, is what makes it really special.
There have been a lot of food in the cup. What was the greatest thing you tasted probably from the cup as well?
Well, I'll be honest, I've never eaten out of the cup. I honestly think it's for those people who win it to do that. If they serve it to me on the side, I will try it and that. But I remember Thomas Kopecky from the Detroit Red Wings when he had it back home in Slovakia. His mom made this special Slovakian kind of stew soup, and it was a homemade soup, and he was so proud, and she was so honored to be able to put it in there. And that one always stands out to me. I mean, there's been pierogies in it, and there's been cereal and spaghetti and that, but for the Kopecky family, his mom made it. He always ate it when he was a kid. That was extra special, and to see that, and the soup was really good. But that's the kind of thing that is very important to the players and their family, is they share it with their family. They re-encounter some great memories through the years, and they get to share it with, and nowadays with the social media world, with everybody, and everyone gets to see it.
We're here in Stockholm. We're here with the Global Series. You're traveling a lot. What would be a place you would like to go with the cup? And maybe if we're talking about the Global Series, where would you like to see the Global Series go if you had a choice and say, that would be a city, that would be great, I think, for hockey, for the market?
Well, I think hockey's played in 96 countries around the world now. And as we talked about earlier, everybody wants to ultimately play in the National Hockey League. It's not realistic to be able to go to those 96 countries, but it would be great if it could. But I mean, look at what the NHL has done lately, and they were just in Australia, we're in Sweden, we're in Finland last year. They've been to Germany, Czech, Austria, all the big nations. There's a lot of nations out that they're on the verge of be getting better. And I think between the Players Association and the league and everyone, to work towards that, like the Latvians, the Hungarians, the British, they're all getting better all the time. And any way we can support them in any way possible to make hot, and all it does is make the game better. And ultimately, that's what we all want.
So I have to say thank you. You're not only fulfilling dreams with a cup, but also talking to you, because we see you all the time. You're on social media as well. You're always with the cup. You're seen on social media when there's a party or whatever. It's an honor, a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for sharing some of the stories. And the one question I would have, when is your book going to be published? I mean, if there's one guy on this planet who could write a great hockey book with great stories, it would be you.
Well, I'm very lucky to be in the position I'm in. I think the stories are the players' stories. I certainly will repeat them if they repeat them, but it's for their story to show. I'm like the fly on the wall, maybe, if you call it that. And the experiences I get are it's great to be part of such a great game, and great to meet people like you and everybody that's part of it.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Ja, ist doch alles gut. Beruhig dich, beruhig dich. Geht ja bald weiter. Die neue Staffel Iswas Dog ist doch bereits in der Mache. Kleinen Augenblick Geduld noch und dann gibt's hier wieder Geschichten über gute und schlechte Hundstage und natürlich Tipps von unserer Expertin Melanie Lippisch für eine harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehung.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus. Jetzt bewerten, abonnieren und weiterempfehlen.